The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, June 6, 2010, at the 11 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 15. The sermon was delivered by Pastor Brian Smith, and the title of the message was The Root of the Matter.
The last week we prayed that the Holy Spirit might guide the engineers at BP in the oil industry, and it sounds like some progress has been made. We read reports this morning that the cap that is siphoning oil from that broken oil well is capturing about 10,000 barrels a day now, which is about half of the oil that was spewing out of there. So BP has managed to cut by at least half, hopefully, the spilling of oil. Of course, nine, eight, so whatever, thousands of barrels a day is still a catastrophe. And we're starting to see some heartbreaking pictures of the damage of that oil spill as coastlines in Florida, marshes, all kinds of wildlife are being impacted at the least and destroyed at the worst by this environmental and economic catastrophe. Well, as the world kind of focuses on what's happening in the Gulf and is very concerned about the damage, we find that the writer of our next scripture reading also zeroing in on a source of devastation. Now, what he's focusing on is not consequences of stuff spewing up from the ocean floor, but stuff that spews up from the floor of the human heart. He notes that there's also a polluting effect, a disturbing effect that caused by human hearts that spill out certain ingredients. Not oil, but things that can be even more destructive. So listen now for God's word to you as I share just a couple of verses this morning from a letter to the church of Hebrews. Make every effort to live in peace with all people and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Well, I've been thinking, as I'm guessing you have, a lot about oil recently. And it occurred to me that oil, like most things, can be used for either good or for bad purposes. That oil can have good or bad consequences. When it comes up from the ocean floor on its own at a rate of 20,000 barrels a day, that is purely a bad thing. It just causes devastation of unimaginable toll. But that same oil, if it were brought up in the right way, pumped to pumping stations, taken to refineries, that same oil that is fouling beaches and killing birds could be used to provide gasoline for our cars, jet fuel for airplanes, heating oil for our homes. That oil, depending on how it is used, can be a blessing or a curse. Well, in the same way, the human heart is a natural resource that can be used for either good or evil. In our first scripture reading, we found the Apostle Paul describing the highest and greatest possibility for each one of our hearts. In a letter to the Ephesians, Paul says these words. He says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be rooted and established in love. If you want to know what is possible for a human being in its greatest form, that sentence describes it. That Christ may dwell in our hearts, and that we, as human beings, might be rooted and grounded and established in this love of Christ. That we, when we are in that place, we have been given the fulfillment of human possibility. There is nothing greater than to have Christ Himself in us, in our lives, rooted in love. This prayer proclaims that the great possibility and promise of the gospel. See, Paul is telling us here that the Christian faith is not about believing in Jesus out there. That the faith is about receiving Jesus in here. It's more about receiving than necessarily about believing. It's not about hoping someday we'll get to heaven, but having the Prince of Heaven get into our hearts today. The Christian life is about being infused, having Christ dwell within us. Without that, our faith degenerates into a moral system, a theological arguing ground. Degenerates into denominational warfare. But when Christ is in our hearts and when we are rooted in love, our faith becomes a living and beautiful thing. That's what Pentecost reminds us about. We still have the remnants of that day of celebration when the Spirit came to both Jewish and Gentile believers. And it occurred to me that prior to Pentecost, the disciples had seen Christ crucified. They had met the risen Christ. They had touched His resurrected body. They knew it was really Him. They had watched Him ascend to heaven. They believed He was the Messiah. They believed in His resurrection. And yet, God said, knowing all of that is not enough. Believing that Christ died for you, was raised for you, seeing Him rise to heaven, that is insufficient. And so God sends the Spirit of God. And the Spirit comes upon the disciples and moves within them. Because it was not enough for the Father to have people who believed in His Son. He wanted His Son to live in His followers. And so as the Spirit moves into the hearts of the disciples, they what? They become alive in Christ. They begin to have the very hope and the power and the love and the goodness of Christ now inhabiting their mortal bodies. Their earthly vessels become filled with this transcendent, eternal reality called Christ. And then they go out, now filled with the Spirit, and they transform the world. See, prior to Pentecost, they had beliefs, they had convictions, they had knowledge, but they didn't have the indwelling, living dynamic known as the Spirit of God. So the Spirit comes and roots their hearts in love, and they go out and they begin indeed to be witnesses of the miracle of Christ. In a book called Classic Christianity, an author named Bob George remarks that there's only one person that can live the Christian life, and that's not you or me. The only person who can really live the Christian life is Jesus. Only He has the faith and the power to be able to pull off the kind of life He describes. When we try to do it on our own, we end up practicing a life of futility and failure. We're constantly aware of how far we all fall short of the glory of God. We don't love the way we're supposed to. Yes, we're supposed to trust, but we often find ourselves giving into fear. But Christ, who was always faithful, can live that life in us and through us. And so when the Spirit lives within us, then we are able to have the courage, the power, and the grace to live as Christ commands us. So having Christ reside within us, being rooted in love, is the highest possibility for our hearts. But the Bible also says that we humans, even though given that possibility, we often choose something far lesser. And the writer of Hebrews points that out when he says, "See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Now, bitter root here is not a gardening tomb. He's not talking about not letting bitter roots grow up in your vegetable garden. He's talking about this bitter root that can grow up in the soil of your soul. That it grows up right in here, in the depth of your being. In his book, Transformation of the Inner Man, John Stanford remarks that all of us, without exception, get wounded in our lives. And the wounding starts at a very early age, before we have consciousness. We come into this world as babies, just yearning, needing to be loved. And even if we are given the most loving parents on the planet, because none of us is God, we always end up loving insufficiently. And even when we do things in love, sometimes they can be interpreted in an unloving way. And so perceptions can also cause wounding. And so we all get wounded. Now, when our hearts are rooted in Christ, and Christ dwells within us, we are able to process that wounding in a certain way. Christ says, for example, that when people persecute you, pray for them. If you have an enemy, love them. That forgiveness is meant to be a way of life, not something you just do seven times, but you just do continuously. That praying for those who hurt you, loving your enemies, forgiving, is a way that doesn't keep you from being wounded, but it keeps the wound clean. It keeps that wound from being infected. That allows then the Spirit of God to begin to heal the wound. That allows us then to become wounded healers ourselves. But when we don't have consciousness of that, and when if we aren't rooted in Christ at such a young age in life, we often resort not to those things, but we end up resorting to judgment and anger and bitterness and resentment. Kind of the natural way that the human heart tends to respond. And when we respond in those ways, those wounds get infected. The bitterness seeps in. The judgment hardens. And these bitter roots that have been sown begin to grow up. And they begin to take over, and they begin to form a parameter through which we see life in other people. If our fathers fail us, we might think, you know, men can never be trusted. If our moms failed us, we might say, you know, women are always critical. If we feel uncared for, we might say, no one ever listens to me. Stanford calls these bitter root judgments or expectancies, that these bitter roots cause us to see things and to expect things based on what that bitter root is generating. So we always see people through our own bitterness, through our own expectations that have been soured by our response to these woundings. And when we do that, the writer of Hebrews says what? That we defile people. We see them not in their own unique reality. We see them through this defilement that is in our own spirit. So just like we see these pictures of birds and dragonflies and hermit crabs, you know, wrestling with this oil on them, when we deal with people through our bitter root expectations and judgments, we slime them as well. We put on them a sense of shame and judgment and resentment and bitterness. When you're around people whose hearts have bitter roots, you end up feeling through the interactions that something has happened that is not right or good. And sometimes we're the spewers, right? We put that on other people as well as we deal with unresolved hurt and anger, and we resort to resentment and judgment. And we end up doing this to each other. Now right now we're looking at an oil spill where there's been 20 million gallons of crude oil poured into the Gulf of Mexico. Imagine what it'd be like if half the world's population, or indeed if every person in the world had 1 gallon of oil and poured that gallon of oil into the ocean. You'd be talking now not about 20 million gallons, but you'd be talking about perhaps 10 billion gallons. that a little bit of oil from each person would be much more catastrophic than one oil well that is uncontrolled. So John Sanford notes, for example, he says that bitter root judgments and expectancies are the most common of the sins that separate us from God and impact our lives negatively every day. That we are like people who go around with bitter roots that throw out a quart or a gallon of contaminating influence through those bitter roots. And if every person in the world is throwing out a quart or a gallon of bitter root expectation or judgment and we are defiling other people, imagine what that does to the whole climate in which we find ourselves living as human beings. Bitterness, resentment, anger, it all gets dumped into the spiritual context that we all live in. And you can see, I think, one example of that, again, in the political process here in America right now. It is contaminated by a harshness, a judgment, an anger, and a bipartisanship that allows that process to be ground to a halt, producing very little positive impact. But the same thing happens in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, friendships, marriages. Whenever we find ourselves reliving from that place of bitter root expectation or judgment. Now, Christians were created and sent out into the world to be people through whom that bitterness and resentment would begin to be filtered out of the human condition. When we respond to evil, not with evil, but with love, that darkness begins to be transformed by the power of God, and our hearts become vessels through which that change takes place. And the world does not become darker through us, but light begins to emerge. And so God sends the church to be like human filters who take that darkness and through the grace of forgiveness and love, transform it. But Hebrews was written to a church congregation. He's writing to people of faith and he reminds them, see to it. Be on your guard. That no bitter root grows up and defiles many. Because the truth is that even though we are given, as people of faith, the possibility of being rooted in Christ, we often choose to let bitter roots instead form in our hearts. And so the writer says, see to it, beware, take action. So through Christ, we are given a very simple process of allowing bitter roots to be uprooted and to allow ourselves instead to be more deeply rooted in Christ. I handed you, there's a handout in your bulletin that has four simple steps for this process. The first step would be to confess that the root is there, that it is indeed a defiling thing, spewing out bitterness and resentment and anger and judgment. So often when that bitter root is there, we find ourselves instinctively going to a place of justification. Well, I feel that way because that person did that. We defend it, we justify it. Sometimes he really even tried to deny it's there. I didn't mean anything by that comment. Heard anybody say a very hurtful thing with a smile on their face? Or they'll say something hurtful and then by saying, and bless their heart. You know, I'm not really meaning to be mean here, but wham. So the first authentic step of healing is to confess, Lord, that is in my heart. I do that. I own it. It's mine. This is not, again, excusing the wounding that was real. It's dealing with our response to that wounding, which is our choice, which sets up the bitter root. The second thing after confessing is what? Repent, which is different than remorse. Remorse means, you know, I feel really badly I did that. And I might feel badly the next 10 times I keep doing it. And 10 years from now, I'm sure I'll still feel badly for having done that. But remorse is having the conscience get pricked. You know, oh yeah, I feel badly. I don't like feeling badly, so I'm sorry. But you know, you can really be sorry and not change. Repentance means pushing beyond remorse to authentic change. It means hating the fact that you do that, that you're tired of that impact, that you want to live in a new way, that you're tired of the slime, you're tired of the impact it has on your own heart as well as on the hearts of others. And so you press through to a new way of dealing with stuff. You begin to actually forgive and to pray for those who hurt you. And you begin to process that hurt in a way that is scripturally blessed and Christ-centered. And the third thing then is you do forgive. Specifically, I forgive that person. In that situation, I no longer hold on to my self, the need to see vindication or vengeance. I'm going to let God judge. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. Yeah, but not in this situation or that person. Let God be the judge. Trust Him. Your job is to release that into God's care, to forgive. And the final thing would be to invite the Holy Spirit to do what only the Spirit can do and to begin to anchor the heart and the mind more deeply in Christ. Do you want bitter roots or do you want your heart rooted in Christ? That's the choice we all face. Now, sitting here this morning, we can't do much at all about what's happening in the Gulf Coast. We can only watch and read and pray and hope. But we can do something tangibly real about the contamination in the spiritual life of our country, of this community. As we begin to own our own stuff, our own bitter roots, and we begin to be transformed by the grace of Christ, light and goodness and grace begins to emerge in ways that reflect the desire and the love of God. And there's no better time to do that than right now. As you prepare to receive this meal, this is a great time for us to deal with whatever is in our hearts this day that God does not want to be there. So this morning, as we prepare to receive the sacrament, we're going to have a time for us indeed to look at our hearts and our minds. The praise team is going to come forward to lead us in a song called Purify My Heart. We're then going to have a time of prayer. And then I'll be leading a time of personal reflection. And before we do that, I want to show you, there's a picture up here of a scroll again that we've created that has the words, a few of the words from the Ephesians passage that I invite you to take with you. As there's some baskets on the back table, please take one with you. And I would encourage you, as you think about what we're talking about today, to remember the possibility and the promise you have in Christ. Let the Word of God speak to you daily. Put it in a place where you can read and be transformed by its impact. So let us now turn to the Lord as we sing together and invite the Lord to purify our hearts.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.